I need everyone to take 4 clothespins. This is for the teenagers. Adults, there's some left over. You all can have them afterwards, but make sure every teenager has 4 clothespins. We have some extra chairs if you want them. Those are on their own couch, so you can kind of see what's going on. But that's just up to you guys. There's a couple chairs here, and there's some chairs over here. You want off the floor, or however you want to do it. I don't care. I don't care. That's fine. All right, now. I was talking before, and I told you that we were playing for a hill of beans. Let me tell you the story about a hill of beans. I was at one of the things our community does around Thanksgiving time is a bunch of our churches of all different denominations get together. We pull in our resources, since we're in a really small town, and we all buy Thanksgiving meals together for the entire community, anybody that's in need. And then what we do is all the different churches submit different people that they know that may need help during Thanksgiving, and we put them all on a name list together, and then we deliver all these huge Thanksgiving meals. Well, what we were doing was this, and it's kind of cool. We bought, I think it was 200 or 300 turkeys, all the different fixings, all the stuff going on, and here's what happens. Each one of the churches would give out some vouchers like I was talking about. But the other things we do is the ministers and some other people from the church got to go, and we had it at one central church location, and then the people would come in and pick up their dinners. It would be enough for the whole weekend and stuff for these families that may be in need. Well, I just happened to be blessed with sitting next to a lady while we were working that was a llama farmer. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a diehard Napoleon Dynamite guy. And as soon as I heard llama, I was loving life. So I started talking to this lady. This is so cool, you guys. She raises llamas, and what she does with her llamas is she takes them into nursing homes. Because she's trained her llamas to be like little dogs. And the llamas go in there, and they put their little heads on the laps of the older people, and the older people get to pet them and love on them and stuff. And I'm thinking, this lady is lying to me. There's no way. And she said, and so then she starts, as we're sitting there for an hour or two, with her llama fast facts. And I was going, you're kidding me, right? And she's like, no, I got all kinds of llama facts. I want to give you some. I was like, sure. She said, did you know llamas are very, very clean animals? And I was going, first off, I thought, they're an animal, and they live outside. How clean can they honestly be? If y'all hear Dada, that's her talking to me right back there. She's learning words, and I'm kind of excited about that. But so anyway, she says, llamas are extremely clean animals. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, you could almost like have one in the house. And I was thinking, could you imagine a big old llama in your house? But here's what happens, okay? She says, a llama will mark its territory, and it will never go to the bathroom except for in that spot. And I went, really? And she said, you'll like this. She said, our llamas have a corner in the back part of our field, and that's the only place that they will go to the bathroom. As a matter of fact, llamas are so clean, you don't hold the clips down so you're not busting the table. Down. They said, llamas are so clean, exactly like that. She said llamas are so clean that they even, once they choose their spot, they won't walk forward into that spot because they're afraid they might get something on their feet. So a llama, literally, this is the truth, a llama will back up, just like humans do to a toilet, they'll back up to their corner, and then they'll do their thing. But they'll only do it in the same spot every single time. So, llamas originally from, you know where? South America. What else do we love from South America? Coffee. Have y'all ever heard of the phrase, not worth a hill of beans? Yeah. Do you know where you get that from? The llama. Because a llama, when it goes to the restroom, looks just like that.
Yeah.
Okay? And what they do, don't y'all just say, my hill of beans, kind of grocery stuff to think about it. What they do is they back up, and when they go to the restroom, it piles up into a hill. And so the phrase of, that's not worth a hill of beans, is talking about llamas. So that's a little fun fact. view on your llama experience on that. Kind of gross, but I like gross, so that kind of works out well. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today. So if y'all got Bibles, get there and just kind of get it ready, because we're not going to get into it just yet, but I want you to have it ready. Okay, make sure you got someone around. Yeah. You can get to where you can see some scripture, because I'm going to need some of y'all to read with me. Now, here's what I want you to do. The class that I want to talk about today was dealing with the concept of freeing yourself up from expectations. So what you have now is you have in front of you four clothespins. And we are getting ready to do an activity that is going to be interactive once again. And what you're going to do in just a minute is you're going to write on your clothespins. For some of you all, this will be really easy because you print really small like me. Others, you all have the beautiful bubble print. And you may not be as effective, but you got to try. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to write on those four clips. I want you to write a stereotypical, I know it's a big word, a stereotypical phrase or a concept that people feel about teenagers. Okay? It can be a style of a teenager. It could be a concept of how the world looks at you or how you look at each other. It can be good. It could be bad. If you were to ask some of the older people around, they would say unruly, or they would say lazy, or they would say, oh, so loving, or they would say confusing, or whatever it may be. So you got to do that, or maybe for you on your clips, it's something like jock, or brilliant, or all these different things like that. Whatever it is for you, what I want you to do is I want you to take two of those, and I want you to write something that describes you as somebody would describe you. And then I want you to take two of those, at least two, happy, positive, and at least two, kind of even see that, two have to be something negative that you've heard people say about you. Or teenagers in general. Okay, let me show you. You got pins in front of you. What you're going to do is you're going to see your clothespin. You're going to write whatever that is on the clothespin.
The name of that other.
You're always the confused.
Yes, yes. Two positive, two negative. Okay. It can be about you personally, or it can be about teenagers in general. It's your choice. Okay? After you've got those four, what I want you to do is I want you to hold them in your hand and put your hand up in the air. Give the mighty fist. So I know that you're ready. Okay? If you've not gotten your clips yet, we have more somewhere sitting around here. So make sure you get them. Okay, last question. Do you get any clips? Are we out of clips? Do you not have any left? Okay, we have some more back here. Okay. Right on your clips. Yes. Okay. You can have somebody write them for you if you want. Okay. Either way.
One thing.
Two positive, two not as positive. When you write all four of them down, you're going to put them in your hand and you're going to hold your hand up. So I know you're ready. There we go.
I am.
You still got pins? I need someone to donate a clip or two.
I got it.
Okay, some of you all, this may be challenging. You have 1 minute to finish. Okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to quietly stand up. Have your clips in hand. I want you to go meet four new people and put a clip on each of them. Four new people that you do not know, put a clip on each of them. Done. Okay. Now, some of you all, you're quite curious what you are now. Most of you all kind of already had this figured out. You kind of looked at it. I like what was given to me in stealth. I have my friend here, Matt, right?
Yeah.
Matt comes up to me and goes, got one for you. Tries to slip it on my arm upside down. Don't want to hurt my feelings. Straight up called me lazy. Appreciate that.
Don't worry. I got it twice.
I'm just mad if you can just help me get out of the car after this is over with, because I'm not sure if I can walk that far. All right. I want to challenge you all with something. I'll just take clips, just leave them on you. Just leave them somewhere on you, wherever they're comfortable. Yeah, I saw somebody had it on their eyebrow. That may be a little painful. You might not keep it on there too long. You know, if you want to put it on your nose, if somebody does smell, get around you. I'm fine with that. Okay. What we're going to talk about today is dropping these chains of expectations. Can somebody tell me something that's expected of you right now as a teenager? What do people categorize you as or whatever? When they look at you, what are they expecting from you? Beth.
To be more mature than I
really are. Okay.
I've got an extension on my sleeve.
Good grades in high school.
Okay, good grades. What else?
Responsibility.
What else? Respect. Okay. What else? If I were to ask you right now, here's a really interesting thing here. I'm not sure you all really realize this. Do you realize that you all are honestly right at the true second to third generation of youth kids ever? That you all are only like the second go-around. My generation was the first go-around. The concept of youth ministry was started on my generation. And we all grew up with it. And now we are older enough now that we have kids that are teenagers. And some of us are actually staying in youth ministry long enough to see that happen. And you all are only the second go-round. The first go-round, normally when you do something, is very experimental. And some things work really great, and some things don't work at all. The second go-round, we're trying to hone it in and fix it and figure out what we did wrong in the first go-round. So you're still kind of experimental. I'm hoping desperately that by the time you guys are in a place to be ministers and moms and dads of teenagers, that we have this figured out. But right now we're still working on it. And because of that, we go by what we know. And inside your church, and inside the older people in your congregation, and even your parents, they have an expectation of you all. And it's the expectation, the only thing that they know. And unfortunately for you all, the only thing that they know and understand in youth ministry is my generation. The first. And so, for some of your parents, you'll hear them say, back whenever we went to camp, you ever hear this before? There wasn't even air conditioning. We didn't even have a swimming pool. We swam down in the pond. Right? Back in my day, we didn't even wear shorts to camp. You know, you hear all that kind of weird stuff like that going on. Here's what happens, and this is what I want to talk to you guys about. In society, there's a there's a societal concept of what a teenager should be and what a teenager is. You have limitations according to society on what you're able to do. Okay? They very much limit you on, they're just teenagers. Hear that before? We can't expect too much because they're just teenagers. Well, why would they? Because they're just teenagers. Okay? And so you get this whole idea. And what happens there is it's almost like these chains and shackles are being put on you on your limitations of your faith and what you're able to do because, they're just teenagers. And what I want to challenge you guys with today is to look past that and to develop some stuff. See, on each one of you, hopefully you have some of these clips, and some of them are very positive, and some of them are not so much. And that's life. Because people are looking at you, and they're looking and making decisions about you like this every minute. When I walked in the room, I made decisions about certain people in here as soon as I walked in the room. I could tell who was going to be very interested in class. I could tell who was not. I could tell who was going to pay attention, who was not. I could tell who was going to participate in games and who was not. Made that decision 3 minutes into class. I could tell by the way that y'all are interacting with Trent how this class would go today. Already made my decision. Not been wrong so far. Okay? Is that irritating? Why is that irritating? Why?
Because you judge before you really make up your mind.
Okay. How am I able to do that?
It's because different people have different opinions and you base that on your opinion.
But how am I to be so right on that, though?
You've experienced it.
Huh? I've experienced it, but even more than that, you all are going to live up to the expectation. Aren't you? 9 times out of 10, you're going to do the same standard of what all teenagers are supposed to do. When you came here for the workshop, you probably either got the talk on how what was going to be appropriate and what was not, or you already in your own mind have an idea of what was going to happen and how you were going to be. And so you built yourself into an expectation before you even got here. Now, sometimes that's not a bad thing. Sometimes that's a very good, like a runner getting you the right way to go. But other times, it's a very big hindrance. Let me show you the scripture that we're going to go into today. And I want you to pick up on some stuff. This is not the typical thing we want to talk about breaking chains here because it's a little bit out there. But I want to show you what breaking the chains looks like. Okay? We're in chapter 5 of Mark. We're in verse 2, and I'm going to read verse 2 through 5. And I want you all to kind of catch this a little bit, because I'm going to talk about this for just a minute. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him, night and day, among the tombs, and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. We've got a situation here where we've got a guy that nothing can control him. He will not live up to the expectations of those around him. Okay? Why? How many of y'all know, you know the story here? We're getting ready to get in some pig action. Okay? Why is he not controllable right now? Why?
Because he's possessed by
him. He's possessed by what? Okay? I'm just going to go... I'm going to go basic concept, walk us through some stuff here. Demons work for Satan, the devil. So we've got a guy here, through Satan's influence, that cannot be restricted. Fair enough? Through Satan's influence, will not be told what to do. No chains can bind him. No words have an effect on him. No cords can tie him up. He is possessed. He is in motion no matter what, right? Let's go a little bit farther. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of there. Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to get into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed to the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Who controlled the demon-possessed man?
Jesus.
So we've got somebody that is totally breaking chains, cannot be controlled by any man, will not listen to any person, no reason, no logic, no social faux pas. The guy's running around naked, causing trouble in a cemetery of all places. There's no parent that's kind of told him, hey, John, can't be doing that. This is not cool. There's no social group that went out there and went, oh, no, you didn't. No group did that. There's no group in there going, dude, not cool. Nobody can converse with this guy. Because why? Who's got control of it? Satan does. Satan, in essence, here's a little twisted part for you. Satan, in essence, has set him free. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
Weird, huh? But free to do what? Free from the social norms, but not free in a good way, right? Free that only harms himself. Yeah.
What I've been told throughout my life is that you make a deal with the devil, you make it a sweet reward, but there's always a twist of consequence.
Do you think that's true in this situation? Is he free from social norms? You better believe it. Can anybody tell him what to do? Nope. Does he have that ultimate freedom like all teenagers want to have? Well, you can be your own woman. You can be your own man. Ain't no teacher going to tell you what to do. There's no parent going to tell you what to do. You want to stay up? I bet you if he stayed up late, he wasn't going to get in trouble, was he? He wanted to be on the internet later if he wanted to. I bet you he could do it, couldn't he? You know, if he wanted to go hang out over his other dead friend's house, he could be all over that tomb. I mean, there's no telling him to go home early. He did whatever he wanted. But Jesus took care of this, right? Watch what happens here. It goes on, the people get all upset. The people watching the pigs are like, dude, you just killed all our pigs. They don't even recognize that this guy's pigs. They're upset about the pigs. That's not important. Look in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him and said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Each one of you all has some of these on your shirt, hair, eyebrow, whatever. I want you to take those off. Okay? I want you to put them in your hand. Now I want you to think about this. Inside each of us, we have incredible abilities to do things that we never thought we were able to do before. But time and time again, we allow ourselves in a social setting to be clipped by these things. Some are good, some are bad, some are us, and some aren't. Some of you all, you probably got the smart or the athletic or the whatever it is, and you took it and you smiled, and inside you went, that is so not me. But I'll smile and I'll keep it on my arm because we're doing a silly exercise. And okay. Here's what happens, guys. When we allow these things to start forming us and molding us, instead of allowing God to do that work, then all that we can become is what you have in your hand. And we start limiting ourselves to this. Oh, I can live with being smart and lazy. That's fine. They could have said something worse. I'll take that. And then all of a sudden, we've used this inside of our own Christianity, too, because, you know, the ministers only expect this much of me. My mom and dad only expect this much of me. I know what the thing is that we're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, what we do is we rob ourselves of something really incredible. I want you to listen to me again as I read verse 20. This is the very end. It says, "So the man went away and began to tell the accomplice how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were what?
Amazed."
Why were they amazed? What's that?
Because of what God did.
What Jesus did for him? Did he go to Harding to get his speech degree? And did he go to get his Bible degree? And was he able to really spread the message because of his education?
No.
Did he have the right amount of money to buy the right clothes so that people would give him respect whenever he was talking to them? No. There's nothing in there that anything socially he did right to amaze people. Do you know what he did to amaze people? He was himself. In his purest form, he was himself. See, no more legion controlling him. Society didn't control him anymore. Jesus didn't want to control him. And so all he had left was himself. Imagine in your mind what it would be like for you to totally just be yourself. Not what people expect of you. Not the social stereotype you have at your school. But yourself. That's what amazed people. We had this incredible moment in our church and in our youth program back in the fall. We had signed up to do a youth worship, and I wanted to do something a little different. And I wanted the kids to pretty much do the service, but I knew that not all of them would get up there. So I said, well, let's make a video. They love that idea. They like to get on camera and stuff. So we make this video, and I said, I want you all to express who you are as a group to this church. And they got together, and I said, I want you to get small groups. I want you to figure out a scripture that represents you. I want you to figure out what, if you could say anything to this congregation, what is it that you want to say to them? And they came up with this video. This incredible video that I could never have staged kind of video. My group got together, and as they were studying scriptures and working this out together, they came across a scripture that talks about how we are to be fearless and fearlessly spread the word of God. And I went, you know what? That works for me. That's right up my alley. That's where we're at. I'm all about the evangelism thing. Let's roll with that. So I said, okay, how do you want to present this video? And my older guys said, you know what? We got this. And three of them got on tape, and all the kids talked about different things they liked about the church and whatnot. It was all happy, lovey-feely kind of thing on for about 7 minutes. And then out of nowhere on this video, as we're editing this, I had somebody else edit it because I didn't want to taint it in any way. Out of the end of it comes this incredible moment where three of my leaders get up there and they say, We will no longer settle for being average. We will no longer be content just playing church. We are sick and tired, literal words, of having a cozy religion. And then my youth group together start reciting the scripture. And I'm just like, whoa. You know, it's amazing. We're running this during service. When we get done with it, our pulpit minister gets up and talks for about 5 minutes, throws down an invitation, and 30 grown men respond. I've never seen anything else like it in my life. They're convicted because they feel this amount of guilt that they never allowed their children to become who God wanted them to become because they put these stereotypes on them. And they came down and they came forward and they just repented that they weren't being the kind of leaders that they needed to be in their homes, that they weren't the kind of guys that opened up the freedom to express our teens to be able to express their faith and their beliefs, and that they haven't cut the water for them to be able to do so safely. And our church is in the middle of a huge transformation right now. Incredible moment. Because of that, one of the exercises that we did that I want to challenge you all with, you have a paper right there in front of you on your tables. And in front of you, those of you all don't have tables. I want you to do this exercise. This is one of the coolest things I think we've done. I think you're going to like it. This yellow piece of paper that's in front of you, it's about pretty good size. I want you to roll it out. My wife has got a ton of crayons and stuff. I want you to draw a silhouette of a teenager. And inside that teenager, here's what I want you to do. After you get that drawn, listen to you guys, because you're going to miss it. Hold up on the paper so you hear what I'm going to tell you to do. Here's what I want you to do on your paper. Inside your silhouette of your teenager. Come on, guys. Need one more minute. I want you to build the teenager that you want to be and not what's expected of you to be. Okay? I want you to build what you feel God would want from you as your group, as a teenager in God's kingdom. And here's what I want you to do. Is after you build that and put some of those dynamics in there, then in the center where the heart is, I want you to draw a big heart. And inside that heart, I want you to come up with a concept that is totally your concept on how you can make a difference in this society, that table, your group. What is something unique that is yours that you can own, that you can make a difference in society? I don't care what it is. You come up with the idea, you put it in your heart, and you draw it up there. You've got 10 minutes, and we're going to share. I want to share with you a story that I ran across just not too long ago. I was looking for teenagers who do extraordinary things online. I recommend that, make sure you get your safeguard on that. If you ever going to do that. But in the middle of doing that, I came across a girl by the name of Jordan Summers. Does anybody know who Jordan Summers is? Jordan Summers is a 2010 Teen Choice Awards winner for Teen Nick. Jordan Summers is a two-time Miss Teen America. She has won countless numbers of beauty pageants. And she decided that she wanted to give back. And the way that she saw that she could give back was she noticed that there were a lot of girls who were either mentally or physically challenged that would never have the opportunity to compete in a beauty pageant. And so she created a beauty pageant just for them. Jordan Summers decided that she wanted to make a difference in the lives of those who would never get to experience something that she got to experience. And so she took her knowledge of being able to do pageants and the connections that she had, and she started this pageant. The pageant, and it's called Miss Beautiful Heart, I think is what she calls it. Miss Amazing. It was Miss Amazing what?
Miss Amazing.
Yeah, Miss Amazing. And here's the kicker. To be able to participate, every one of the candidates have to be one of those two things, either physically or mentally challenged of some sort or another, and they all have to bring 5 cans of food to participate. And everyone that wants to come to the pageant brings 5 cans of food. And what she has done is she's decided to make a difference in the lives of those who couldn't defend for themselves in more ways than one. See, not only did Jordan take care and make these girls and these... And what's interesting, it is from the age I think it was 6 to 35 get to participate. And she makes a difference in their lives because each one of them get a ribbon. They all get to wear the sash. They all get a crown, and they find something amazing about every one of them. They all get to walk the runway and feel special and feel loved in a way that they've never gotten to feel before. And on the backside of that, she collects literally thousands of pounds of food to feed those that are in need around her community. She decided she wanted to make a difference. She used her creativity to make a difference. She didn't let people just judge her as the pretty face, the prom queen that doesn't care about anything. She really wanted to make a difference. That's what we're talking about. How is it possible that a show like Nickelodeon can raise up and give props to teenagers who try to do extraordinary things? And yet, unfortunately, sometimes in our own church, we limit you on what you're able to do. It's not right. I want to challenge you all to break free from the expectations that are even put inside you at church when it comes to your limit on how you can serve God and what you can do. That's part of what this exercise was all about, was to open up your own minds and your own hearts. You're going to go across over there if you haven't been through there shopping like a billion times already, and you're going to run into these different things, these mission programs of different kinds, and you're going to look at that and you're going to go, some of you are going to go, oh, that's a good idea. You know what? They were teenagers just like you, and they sat around at some point and realized there's a huge need here. There's a huge need in this inner city. There's a huge need in Guatemala. There's a huge need in Indiana. There's a huge need in your own hometown. And they looked at it and they said, how can I fulfill a need? How can I do what God has called for me to do to make a difference? See, inside those hearts that you built, some of those things may be kind of silly right now and you're thinking about them. And unfortunately, I bet you, at least half of you all, when you looked at those and you did them, you went, I'll write it, but there's no way. How many of you all felt that way? I'll write it, but it probably won't happen. Be honest. Did anybody feel that way? Okay. Why did you feel that way? Because it's bigger than you are? It's harder than what you think is possible? There's nothing impossible if you allow God to work through you. Part of the job that I truly believe that I've been called to do as a minister is to figure out a way to make those dreams become real for you. That's part of what my job is. My job is to get rid of all the logistics and all the things that are going to try to stop you and my group from doing what God called you to do, and so you can make it happen. Because that's what God called you for. That guy who broke the chains, how is it possible that he could run around and have nobody control him on this earth while he's in control of Satan, while Satan's in control of him? How much more important is God than Satan? How much more powerful is God? If Satan has the ability to take a guy and let nothing bind him, then doesn't God have the ability to do even more than that? There is no reason why the things that are on your little person, that are in those hearts, can't happen if you don't bind yourself. And if you don't let your church or other people around you or people in your youth group look at you because that's not the socially cool thing to do if you try it, and you care more about what you are called to do by God than you care about what people are going to look at you when you do it. Man, we need some more Jordan Summers. We have some of those right here.
There's this thing that's always called Special Olympics. It's for mentally challenged people. And what they do is they get to go out and they get to go bowling and compete stuff, and everybody leaves with a medal. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like what she did, but this is for everybody. We're trying to get it throughout the states. Me and my sister, we're GATS, we're on the Youth Association Committee, and we're now coaching Special Olympics.
That's what I'm talking
about. And we're trying to get more people involved with it. Because there's some people that have never even heard of it.
Sure. Can you imagine, right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have 6 ideas right here that may be mind-bending to our culture. that are possible through God. I just want to share them. I want you all to get a spokesperson. You can hold up your person if you want. And share what your idea is and maybe some of the characteristics inside your person that makes it possible. I'm going to start right here at this table next to me because I figured Bess was going to be the talker, so I'm going to call her right up. Bess used it because we did stuff all the time.
All right. So am I supposed to say?
Tell us what your idea is and if there's anything inside the kind of teenagers that you need to be able to make that happen.
Love as Christ did, and comfort others, give to others, and set expectations. Examples, I mean, expectations. I can't read.
That's okay. Now, here's what you do with that. They've got some concepts that they want to be able to do. Now, what they do is if they're really serious about it, is they go, okay, what can I do to change the world by doing those things? And what is it that is me? It's not somebody else. It's not what somebody else loves. It's what I love. Here's what I found out a long time ago. If you do something because you're obligated, you'll do it fairly well, but you'll never do it as well as something that you love. I'm telling you, and I know this from experience, I was blessed for a long time to do the thing I love the most, and I've had it taken away for a time, and then given back. And I'm telling you now, I've done it both ways. I've done what I love to do, and I've done what I've needed to do. And there's no comparison. If you can ever find the thing that you love, and you put your heart full into it, you can do incredible things, because your heart is sold into it. That's why we put it in the heart. This group right here, what's your concept idea? Their concept is to be willing to change the world. Now, how am I going to change the world in Clarksville, Arkansas? Yep, that's what it is. Okay, next thing right here.
Our main theme was, in our heart, we wrote pure. And pure, I guess it's sort of, our plan is to encourage people to be pure. Because, I mean, this probably isn't the same in every youth group, but in my youth group or at my church, there are at least 6 unmarried, unactually dating pregnant girls in my church. And so, just pure at all is something that is hard to find, and finding pure teenagers is something really hard to do. So I guess encouraging people to be pure and to follow God and be a leader and be an example and help encourage others is sort of our main goal.
See, now, do you see where we're going with this for them? Now their objective is, while they're driving home, what are we going to do to set this into motion? At what age do you start? Do you start talking to the kids that are in the elementary group about how beautiful it is that you're showing them an example of what purity is? Do you do special events for them to make them feel special without having to have a guy to make them feel special? What does it look like for you? That's you. See, I can't do that for you. But you know what will work because that's you. Okay, group in the back.
There's two, and then there was another one, and she's over there. Yeah. Okay, this is our campus.
Awesome.
But you can't really see it, but in our heart, it says, help others around us understand who they are and who God is. Because we have a lot of misconceptions about who we are, and we want to make sure that that's clear, is that you are pure because God makes you so. You are holy because God makes you so. And it kind of has to start with us, because we have to be aware of who we are and who God makes us,
sure.
So we can convey that to those around us. So even just starting with, talk to your friends at school. Oh, yeah, by the way, you look beautiful today because God made you. Not in that kind of awkward way. just talking to your friends about, who they really are, not about who the face they put up is. And being able to give them examples. So we put, godly, accepting, responsible, the odd one out, being willing to be on the outside. Can you read your long sentence over there, because I can't read it.
I will be the anti-norm, the reverse stereotype, and the oddity defying the odds.
Awesome.
There you go.
Incredible. All right, next group.
Awesome. The inside, the one on the outside, which could be inside or out, is loving Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because most of us teens nowadays don't really participate on that. We just kind of don't focus on the love of Christ and how it's important. The other one would be to show examples. The example, like the good Samaritan and good deeds, and being giving. Like in church, we give the offering plate, send it around. Like, give a little bit of money in and help those who are in need. Another way would be if a church helps have dinners and stuff for poor people, just have some place to stay. Respect and humble is something that God is something that God gives you, a gift. Leadership. To help others to Christ and to be there to help them on up. And the last one is...
Did I write it?
Put God first.
Put
God first. Put God first.
And
honesty. There's a lot of us that do lie, and we're not perfect, so we all do it, so.
Yep. All right, last group.
Okay, just to do something kind of different.
Everyone listen.
We give him this shield.
Okay.
So, of God, of his faith.
Okay.
So all these images that people are throwing at him and rocket repel grenades stay out.
Okay. Like it.
Alright. And we gave him glasses.
Okay.
Cool. So he could see the need.
Okay.
See the need. That kind of ties in with wash his feet, heart of service.
Okay.
So, it's like...
Wash his feet.
And... That's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody added a little effects around there, I see. So.
It's like,
nerd.
Imagine a bandana there to.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Or hair.
Yeah. Or hair coming down.
Yeah.
Alright. So basically, we wanted him to be a part of a servant, not caring what everyone else around him thinks because he has faith. and being able to see the need in his community going out.
Awesome. Now, here's the real challenge, guys. I don't know about your generation, but my generation, we had what we called the camp moment. Y'all ever heard of the camp moment before? It's one of those where you go to camp, it's all in touch, feel everybody's all happy and stuff, and we're all going to change the world. We love each other, crying, see you later next year. It's going to be great. It's going to be different this year. You get on the bus halfway through there, it's going to be on you, drooling on you, get kicked off, yell at them, and the moment's over. Okay? It's not that fast. Some of y'all last about a week, some of y'all last till your boyfriend calls when you get back home, and then you get into a fight because he doesn't understand why you had to go to church for the whole week, and he heard that you were macking on some other guy while you were there trying to go to the dinner on the last night, whatever it may be. Yes, sir, I'm talking about you. So, but what happens is, we get these great concepts given to us when we come to stuff like this, or do a youth rally, or some camp, and we go, oh, yeah, that's right, man, that's where we're at, that's what we're doing. And then we walk out of there, and it's gone. If it's not, it's kind of like this. If I said, hey, you know what, guys, you know what would be really awesome? We should go, and we should take care of this family that I saw that was in need. Their car was broken down like 3 blocks down the way. And you know what would be really cool? Let's think of some different ideas we could do for them. And one of y'all goes, we could fix their car. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And we can give them some food. Oh, that's a great idea. We can give some more gas. That's awesome. Maybe we can get the guy a job. Fantastic. All right, we got our plan. All right, okay, let's go. Bus over. And the family's still sitting back on the corner. But boy, we feel good because we talked about what we could have done. I mean, we're fired up now because we could have done something. What I don't want you guys to do is write things into a heart without a plan. I really want to challenge you guys. Do you know your concept that you're going for here? Do you know the concept of giving and a servant's heart and doing these different things that you're talking about? But here's my question. How are you going to put it into action? What will it look like? What are you going to call it? What I want to see happen is, I want to see 3 years from now, me come to the workshop, and I'm looking at you in your own booth going, this is the ministry that me and my friends started. And because of this, this is how we've changed the world for God. Sorry about that. It can happen. Y'all don't know that one? Look up on YouTube. Quite later. Okay. What I don't want to have happen is for you to come back a year later and go, didn't that guy have a class that was kind of fun? I don't remember what it was about, but it was kind of fun. Because you know all I've done then is I've wasted your time and I've wasted my time. But out of the midst of this, if just everyone took and tried just one thing that you're talking about, I guarantee you a large number of them are going to stick. And incredible things are going to start happening. And your life will change because you decided to put something inside of your heart. Push some of that worldly stuff out. Give God a chunk of it. And make a difference. Like I said, I don't know what it will be for you. But hopefully this starts your mind thinking a little bit. How cool would it be on the way back to New York, on the way back to Minnesota, on the way back to Arkansas, as you're sitting in the car for hours and hours and hours, you pull out your iPad, if you got one of those, or you pull out your notebook, or your cell phone, or if you're like me, you pull out your little Evo and you get in your little note section. I love my Evo. And better than iPod, by the way. iPhone's no comparison. But you pull it out, and you start going, hey, what if we called it this? And on your drive, all of a sudden, your idea has a name. And then all of a sudden, you start brainstorming. And what if we did this? I'm not sure that would work, but what if we tried this? Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm pretty sure that you know, Megan would be really good at this back in our group. Let's get her in on this. Hey, I'm pretty sure that Steve, man, he's perfect at this. This would work. I can see it happening. And then all of a sudden you're back there and life is starting to get exciting. And it's even more exciting than prom coming up, and it's even more exciting than school being out, and it's even more exciting than the mission trip coming up and your camp coming up, because all of a sudden you have a direct impact on people's lives. Life changers. That's why I challenge you all to be, as you drop those chains off of expectations, and start amazing your parents. Start amazing your congregation. Change who your congregation even is, because you're willing to serve in ways that they can't even imagine. You all are very powerful people from all the different scopes of the United States. Can you imagine sitting at your table, you got 3 or 4 different states represented, and all of a sudden 4 of these pop up in 4 different states? Dang. It could happen. It does happen. And it will happen. Let's pray and we'll be done. Our God and Father, we love you so much. We've had this incredible time together, and we've had so much fun. We've gotten to run after some killer beans. We've gotten to draw a little bit. We've gotten to place one. We've got to stereotype ourselves a little bit. We've got to break free from it. God, I just pray that you allow us to sink what we are thinking about and compelled to do deep into our hearts, and we don't let them go. We start dreaming now. We start visioning now. And Lord, we just pray that you give us guidance in our dreams and our visions and our hopes. God, help the things that we wrote on the board today or on the paper today to set deep within us. God, help it to change us. God, help us to do it not in our own glory, but for the glory of you. God, help us everything that we do to be in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.